All right, good evening. Good to see you tonight. Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. I'm excited for our teenagers. Thankful for the people that work, or, well, I guess serve in camp ministry. You're part of our church and go there. And thank you. Thank you for doing that. Excited, please be in prayer Tuesday night, preaching at teen camp. Excited about that. Brother Morrison is going to be the main preacher this coming week. Brother Morrison, for a number of years, if not kind of still, ran All Points Baptist Mission. Does he still run it, Pastor Seaman? I think so. And so he is the mission board, head of the mission board that Pastor Seaman was out of there. And thankful for his ministry. He served the Lord a long time. He's from, I think, West Virginia. I know that because he talks sports and he likes West Virginia. And so there's no major league teams out of West Virginia, if you're unfamiliar, so he's got to like college. But he's been a great blessing a number of years. Again, no really new announcements since this morning, but I'm glad that you're here today. Hope you had an enjoyable time of fellowship with one another. I got to learn a new board game, enjoyed that. Some of you were outside, got a chance to just spend some time with some of you sitting and talking. And man, what a blessing that is. And I'm glad you were able to stick around a little bit. Good to have Mr. Rogers with us today. And it's been a number of years since I saw you. So praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here today. We had Sean's brother, Joe, here this morning, which was which has been great. Been praying for him for a while. And then we got Mighty back. How you doing, Mighty? You're decent. All right. That's like a step above fair, but all right. Good. And did you get some pizza today, Mighty? Did you get pizza today? Good. All right. Pie? Wonderful. Very good. You're in the right place then. All right. Good. Hope you've enjoyed that. Do your best between the sugar from the pie and the dough from the pizza. Do your best to not go into a carbohydrate coma. All right. I'm going to do my best to keep your attention. I've worked on a couple dance numbers, so I think they're going to all come together. But I'll do my best to, again, we'll move through this message. But my desire is to just kind of remind us briefly why we do what we do here. You know, there's, you know, we have a order of service, and we do certain things for a certain purpose. And maybe you kind of sit back and go, well, why do we do that? Or why do we handle things that way? Mark chapter number 8, and again, nothing you'll hear tonight won't be unfamiliar to you, but maybe just a reminder of how important each aspect of our service is and how each aspect of the service has an important role. And again, I want to remind you just of that, not that you don't know that, but just a reminder to us here tonight. I was listening to a message this past week, and he was preaching on just kind of the role of the pastor, and just got me thinking about some of those things. He asked the question, why do we do what we do? And that was helpful, and I had some time in the car just thinking about that and just been thinking about some of these things. So Mark chapter number 8, a really important verse in verse 36. For what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. What shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So let's think about that for a second. What good is it if I get everything this world has to offer, but in the end was not able to see eternity life? That this is it. 70 years of fun and pleasure, but at the end, all of eternity to pay for that. So the question is, for what shall profit a man? Kind of in our mind, instituting what is most important. Stuff is not most important. People are most important. We have people that look all shapes and sizes. We got Zeke, and then we got Brother Beardsley, and Amaris. Amaris is like this, and then she puts heels on. It's just not right, Teddy. You know what I'm saying? All right. Little is much when God isn't. And, I mean, we can go wide angle and thin and whatever you want. Well, which one's better? Who's more important? Zeke, just come here for a second. You're just handsome and sharp, all right? Just come up here for a second. Can you come up here? What's his value? How do you put a price on a soul? The Bible asks that. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If I said, all right, here you go. This water bottle is going to be $10. Who's buying it? No way. But then you go to a ballpark and it's hot and you're thirsty and you walk up to the little counter there and you're like, how much for the 10-cent bottle of water? And they're like, $10. And you're like, okay, I'll take two because I'm thirsty. That's what I will give in exchange for that. What would you give in exchange for this? How valuable is a person? You can sit down. Say there's no dollar amount to which you are right. There's no amount that we would be willing to exchange a soul for a piece of money. You know, in our church we have chairs, and each chair represents maybe almost a person. It reminds us of the focus of our church. Imagine if you came in next Sunday morning and there was only four chairs. What would that indicate? We don't want people at our church, right? That's what that would mean. We don't want people, or we just want everyone to stand. A chair represents a person. People make up the church. The church is called a called out assembly. That's what church means. The church is a body or a group of believers assembled together to worship the Lord. So I ask, if church is all about people, how important is it for people to be in church? Really important. You have a role here. Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty about that. I'm saying maybe if it's important for you to be here, isn't it important for others to be here? When was the last time you invited someone to church? How about this? When was the last time you brought someone to church? Say, I bring my family every week. Okay, outside of the people that live in your house. It's amazing how the Lord can meet needs right here in the church. You know, when you utilize that chair there, and you know you can almost, hey, are the Humbies here? Let me see. That's where they sit. You know, it's almost kind of like, are the Rices here? Let me see. Well, yeah, like, you just kind of move around. Ms. Dickinson, you've moved around a little bit over the years, but you've kind of settled into that spot. Appreciate it. It makes it easy. But every now and then, like, you know, if you two weren't here, you were sitting on the girl's side, it would throw me off. Like, why are Jacob and, we'd have to have some meetings or something like that. But, you know. But coming into the church house, I'm just going to say, like the great Marv Levy, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? It just puts you in the right place at the right time. Hey, when you fill that spot, that means that I'm in a place, and we'll talk about some of the other things about service. It just puts you in a place to be able to hear from the Lord. When you come and sit in these chairs, you're pretty much saying, yes, I'm here because I want to hear from God. This isn't a social club. It's not, I mean, certainly I would dare say maybe some of your closest friends are sitting a row or two or within this room or are part of this ministry. You don't come here necessarily to make friends. You come here to meet with the Lord, and you have common interests and common focus, and then naturally you become maybe friendly towards one another. But by you sitting here, that what that says is, yes, I want to hear from the Lord. Maybe there's a need. We pray before service, and we pray. I ask the Lord, say, God, there's needs for sure I am just unaware of, that there's no possible way I could know, and I ask that, God, you'd use the message today to meet those needs. Is there a need that you've asked the Lord to help meet tonight in service leading up to Junior Camp? Hudson and I were praying. We're praying for a couple things. We're praying for young people to trust Christ. Man, I was rejoicing to hear that 20 young people asked Jesus to save them at Junior Camp this last week. Why did that happen? Because they were in the right place. A need was there that was met. Not only does it keep you in the right place, it keeps you out of the wrong places. I'm not saying that, hey, if you're not in church, you're going to be in the bars or something like that. But it just seems indicative, meaning it indicates when you start missing church as a member of church, your heart and your body and your life is not going in the right direction. As a Christian, listen, we don't come to church to become necessary. Just by coming into this church house, you don't automatically become a Christian, but you come here because you are a Christian. And when the desire of a Christian is not to be around these things, hey, there's something off in our priorities. Again, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just trying to indicate to you why it's alarming to me if all of a sudden you start, I understand there's illness and I understand there's travel, and it's really easy to tell the difference between moving away from God's house and just having some other things. You know, when we run into trouble, one of the first places we run back to is the church house. Why? Because that's where you can get some help. It keeps you out of the wrong places. It keeps you in the right place. It's an encouragement to other saints just by you being here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. It's tough to edify and comfort one another when you can't see each other. I like when buddies sit next to each other. I like when I see our young people coming forward at the end of service and praying. You know, there's like, you know, 4 or 5 8-year-old girls just praying together. Hey, that's a blessing. That's good. It's an encouragement to others. How many of you have done something right because someone encouraged you to do it? Hey, I'm going on a visitation. You want to come with me? Well, I wasn't going to go, but now that you've asked me, all right, I'll go. An encouragement. I'll tell you, it's an encouragement to me to see you. I mean, certainly, as we're taught in Bible school and things, we're preaching to the audience of one, and that's the Lord, and we're trying to please God with our words, but man, it sure is nice to have people to talk to. You know, the Lord puts messages on my heart. I can't tell you how many times over the years that people have asked, hey, how do you know what to preach, or how does that work, and God leads me and teaches me things, and some of these things are really heavy on my heart, and I know I don't say them well all the time, but I care for you, and I try and be a help to you as best as I possibly can. It's good when you're here. That chair isn't there by accident. It's there on purpose. It's there to indicate that you ought to be. Over here we have a piano. Again, not there by accident. Ephesians chapter number 5. Why do we open up our service in singing? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's spiritual songs to be sung. Colossians chapter number 3. Technology can be a wonderful tool, but it also can be a real pain. At our house, we have one of those Apple TV boxes. And I don't know, whatever, not really asking what your thoughts are on it. I'm just telling you we have one of those things. And it allows my Apple Music to play throughout our house. So my favorite songs are constantly, like every time I walk by. So my kids are sitting in the TV room. They're listening to my music and either doing a puzzle or crocheting or doing something like that. And every single time I walk by, it's my favorite song, right? Because it's my music. Man, that's encouragement. Just sitting there, watching the kids just sit there and just hanging out in the room, listening to spiritual songs, listening to them sing my favorite song. Like, and good music, encouraging music. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Why do we have a piano? Why? Because we want to be led in music that honors and glorifies God. That's not here by accident. It's here on purpose, just as much as that chair is. Why? Because our desire as a group of believers is to worship the Lord together in congregational singing. I love specials. I love when the girls this morning got up here and they sang that song, Keep Up, where's Mrs. K? Keep on the Firing Line this morning. Did you hear it? Were you in here?
Yes.
All right, very good. You like that song? I know. She's asked a couple times for us to sing it, and when I heard them sing it, I was just thinking of Mrs. K, and I thought, man, I bet this is a blessing to her heart. And maybe you have a favorite song. I like that song, Love That Won't Stop. In my mind, that's like youth choir song. Like, you just, strong melody, sing it out as loud as you possibly can. Man, that's good. I like congregational singing. That's something with 100, 150 people singing together for the Lord. Spiritual songs that make us think about things. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 8, it tells us to sing with all our might. You know, I don't know how we got three hymnals up here. Someone's missing a hymnal. I'm sorry. But number 275, It Is Well With My Soul. How about these words? My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. If you're a Christian, you sing that song and go, yeah, that just doesn't stir my heart. I don't know what to say. It is well with my soul through Christ. How about number 151? Verse number 3. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement can it be. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We sing songs like that. Man, that ought to stir in our hearts. To be able to worship the Lord, I think Mr. Bauman read it in Sunday school this morning, but John chapter number 4. So why do we sing songs, and why can't we just do preaching? You know, C.S. Lewis, I do believe C.S. Lewis and his services didn't have singing. It was just preaching. If you ever read C.S. Lewis's books, he's very intellectual, and they would just talk and converse, and his whole service was just preaching. Well, I see a place in this. The Bible says in John chapter number 4 and verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God's looking for someone to worship Him. I'm glad that you volunteered to do that. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hey, the things that we're singing about. Growing up, my mom was way into music. There was always music on before she got saved. We listened to secular music all the time. And I'm telling you, that would affect her. I remember one time we were driving down the road, and she was listening to a song. And at a young age, I didn't understand relationships. I didn't understand all that, but she started crying and yelling, and just from a song. As a Christian, should our worship not stir in our hearts for that? It's a preparation for the preaching. It helps us to sing out our testimonies. Blessed assurance. This is my story. This is my song. A song's like, when I survey the wondrous cross and come thou fount, Jesus paid it all. Amazing grace, I surrender all. How great thou art, and the list can just go on and on. Why a piano in church? Because God has commanded us to worship Him. And one of the ways we can worship Him is through song. Not only do we have chairs, not only do we have a piano, but we also have a pulpit. Nehemiah chapter number 8. In verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood up upon a pulpit of wood. Which they had made for the purpose. This right here is made on purpose. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Why? In reverence to the word of God. I dare say more help has been given through the pulpit and the preaching of the Word of God than any classroom or counseling center combined. It's truth. We talked about that this morning. You know, we read sermons from men like Charles Spurgeon and Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody and you all have your maybe favorite. Maybe you listen to certain messages over and over again. I remember years ago, Chris, where did Chris go? He's in the hall. There was this preaching tape club. Remember that? And we would listen, and him and Phil and I, we would get tapes and exchange them. Remember tapes? Do you know what tapes are? Hud, do you know what tapes are? You've seen one? Could you? Yeah, they wind up like that. We would exchange them, and like guys like S.M. Lockridge, and you would hear things like that, and hear men preach, and man, there was something. Maybe you have a favorite. I was just talking to Brother Rice, and over at Old Time Baptist Church, is it Old Time in Hamburg, New York? While we're in Africa, there's going to be a tent meeting. If you got nothing going on, Johnny Pope and David Gibbs are going to be at the same place. Man, maybe you have a favorite. So what makes a favorite preacher? They're all preaching the Word of God, but there's something maybe you enjoy their way they speak or just how it goes. Daniel Webster says this: though we live in a reading age and in a reading community, yet the preaching of the gospel is the form in which human agency has been and still is most efficaciously employed for the spiritual improvement of men. Meaning, we have the Word of God, it's important to read it, but God still uses the preaching of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. This pulpit is here on purpose. And maybe at some point in your life you need encouragement and it comes through the pulpit. It was years ago. I was ever hit a dry season in your life when just things aren't, you're just struggling spiritually. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm on my way to church here. It was when we were up in what is now the gym. I was driving here, and literally on my way from Rondacoy, driving here. Tears in my eyes, just telling God I just needed a message to remind me how good God was. I was just in a bad way. I promise you that night, the name of the message was the goodness of God. So much so I got the notes, the printed notes, and I kept it in my in my Bible case. I have an old Bible case, and that message is in there just to remind me how personal God listens and hears and knows me and is aware of my situation. But he used that message to encourage me. I'm telling you, it was like that message was just for me. And maybe you come to Sunday night service or Sunday morning and you're like, God, I got needs. And somehow the Lord lays something on my heart and that's exactly what you need. Praise the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse 4. For my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Preaching is a demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. God uses preaching. Well, you know, I'd rather read, or you know, I just kind of walk in the woods and think about things. And good for those, but don't neglect the preaching of the Word of God. Don't neglect it. Lastly, we have chairs that represent the people. We have a piano. Helps us with our worship. We have a pulpit to which preaching is done. I know it looks like steps, but it's not just steps. This is what we call the altar. And the altar is an important part of our church. It's an important part of the ministry. In the Old Testament, the altar was usually built in a place where God showed up. That's why we have one of these here. It was erected for the purpose of sacrifice or for a memorial. When you read in the scriptures and you read about what happens on the altar, I told you I'm in the book of Leviticus and there's a lot of talk about altars. A lot of talk about offerings. Say, oh, he's going to preach on giving. I'm not talking about giving. They were either made of earth or with stones. There's something special about, I can pray and God can hear me at my, true. And you know what? The nation of Israel could have slaughtered a lamb back at their house too. But God said, come to and bring it to the altar. There's something about moving for the work of God, a place to leave your sin, a place of sacrifice, maybe to vow something to God. God, and we see this in the scriptures, where men at an altar make a decision for the Lord. Say, this is an embarrassing place. No, this is a wonderful place because this is where victories happen. This is where battles are won. Hey, if you ever think that if that person goes forward, that means they're guilty, that means someone's getting help. This should be a place of rejoicing, not of shame. I think sometimes in our minds, we get this mindset that, hey, if I go forward, everyone's going to think I got what, sin? We already know that. Maybe it's a place of a vow to God. God, you've so worked in my heart right now through the preaching of the word. I'm going to come forward. I want to have a memorial place, a place where just you and I talk, and I promise. That's a victory. Our young people are getting ready to go away to camp. It's going to be some encouragement to maybe go to the altar. Hey, be careful how you handle that. In the Old Testament, it was made of materials, but most important, made of, here, you. You are the thing that's being offered to God. In the Old Testament, there was meat offerings and drink offerings and animal offerings. But in Romans chapter number 12, maybe it's just you coming down and reminding God, hey, God, I just want to remind you I'm available. I just want to lay myself on the altar again. Here I am as Isaac. I sacrifice myself. Here it is, God. Here's my life. I just want to remind you, you can do whatever it is that you want with me. That wouldn't be a bad thing, would it? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Where were sacrifices taken? At the altar. Hey, these steps here, we didn't make it just wide enough just so someone could get up here and get down. The purpose of this is to have people at to make spiritual decisions that will forever change the course of their life. It's where victory happens. It's where sacrifice happens. I want to encourage you. It'd be something if Brother Rice gets up here and says, okay, everybody turn to number 151. And only 10% of you turned. And only 10% sang. It'd be something if, okay, open your Bibles and only five of you opened your Bibles. What would you think? Parents would be nudging kids. Open your Bible, right? I mean, we do that, right? What happens when the Lord deals in your heart? All right, here's the altar. I don't want to go. No, this is an important part of the service. It's an important part of the church. It's an important part of your Christian life. You see, so why do we do what we do? Why do we come in and have announcements? We try and get through the announcements, get that stuff out of the way of the service. That way we can just go forward with spiritual things. We sing congregationally specials. Really appreciate our team here that handles all the music. I have zero music ability, Zeke, zero. I can turn on the radio and that's about it. So I so appreciate these that can play instruments. And man, that I don't know, Nate, over the last couple months, it seems like you've really taken the trumpet level to the next level. I don't know. Does anybody agree? All right, good. Okay, it wasn't just me. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. And all those that play, I understand there's more, and there's a lot. Thank you. And the preaching. Not just me, other men that preach here. Thank you. But let's not neglect the altar either. It's not a place of shame. It's a place of victory. That's why we do some of the things that we do. Let's all stand. I understand it's Sunday afternoon. We've consumed a large amount of carbohydrates. You say, did I miss the dance? You missed the dance. If you were sleeping, if you dozed off, you missed it. Wait till next year, next dinner in the grounds. Again, Mr. Rogers, it was good to have you here today. Hope service was a blessing and encouragement to you. It's good to invite family and friends to church. It's good to be in church. Don't let the world